is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can go follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. You can hear Josh daily as he's the producer of the A-Team and hosts his own show, The Nightcap, on Sports Talk 790. On today's episode, are trade talks heating up or not? We'll do a temp check on the Paredes trade market. A world champion could make his return to Houston in 2026. And speaking of champions, why hasn't Framber Valdez found a home? We'll get into all that and more. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. A lot of news since our last show. The Dodgers signed Tucker to a massive AAV deal because apparently they are determined to push us towards a work stoppage. Bo Bichette, Ranger Suarez finds home. Victor Caratini got a nice little pay bump. But before we get into all that stuff, let's zero in on what's going on with the hometown team, because it's kind of been all quiet on the Western front for Dana Brown since signing Tetsuya Imai. And that hasn't stopped the rumor mills from churning, because even though the Sox signed Suarez, they still have the opening at third base and apparently still interested in Isak Paredes. Makes sense from a standpoint of the Sox have a surplus of outfielders. Houston has a surplus of infielders. Chandler Rome feels like there's enough smoke to assume fire, at least from the standpoint of it's probably safe to assume someone from the Astros infield gets traded this offseason. Please, Christian Walker. Please, Christian Walker. There are other teams interested in Isak, but those names are unknown at this point. But reading between the lines from Chandler, it sounds like Houston maybe has a little bit more interest in Willier Abreu coming back than Jared Duran. Who would you guys prefer that they would bring back in a deal for Paredes? And then also, how stingy do you think Dana Brown will be in moving Paredes, considering his value to Houston?
Yeah, and on that front, the Astros did not settle on contract terms with Isak Paredes or Yiner Diaz, right? Everyone else, they avoid the arbitration hearing. It's not a huge gap with Paredes if they choose to work it out and meet halfway, but Paredes asking for just under $10 million. It's like the car that's priced at $27,999. For under $28,000, you can drive it off the lot today. Isak Paredes asking for $9.95 million. The Astros offered him $8.75. So if they go to the hearing and they lose, it's not like, oh my goodness. Like if the Tigers lose on Tarek Skubal, they have to pay him $32 million as opposed to the $19 that they offered. And if you're consuming us, you're probably familiar with how the arbitration process works. But if you go through the hearing, it's either or. The arbitration panel of three can't say, well, you're asking for 10. They offered you 8. Let's just make it 9 and call it a day. It's either or. Yiner Diaz asking 4.5. The Astros offering just 3. But on Paredes, Jaron Duran's making some money, comparable to Paredes. A little bit less he'll make in 2026, but he's also a comparable offensive player who also adds a speed component and bats left-handed. So as we talked about last week, I don't think the Astros have this embarrassment of riches with all their infielders, given Correa's health history and the fact that two of the last three seasons he hasn't been very good. Altuve about to turn 36, coming off his worst full season in more than a decade. And Christian Walker, we know, I'm sensing, Brandon, you're hoping it's Walker that they're able to finagle the ability to trade. But his market is rather limited. Paredes offers the multi-positional option. Red Sox, natural third base fit. He certainly could play first elsewhere. Forget about the idea of other teams valuing him as a second baseman. But as a corner infielder, I mean, he'd been a very good offensive player over the last three seasons. So the reality is, as it stands, the Astros infield is Walker, Altuve, Peña, Correa. You can find enough playing time for Paredes because, one, he's good. Two, you're going to have injuries or poor performance, and there are also some DH at bats. Jordan's not going to DH every game if he even stays healthy. So if you move him for an outfielder, Willier Abreu, the former Astros farmhand, 3 more years of control with him, hence cheaper initially on his arbitration clock than is Duran. Jaren Duran also 29 years old. He'll be 30 September of this year. Willie Abreu, 3 years younger. Paredes also in the 27 category, turning that next month. I don't have it absolutely. I would rather have Duran than Abreu. Willie Abreu, a gold glove, right fielder, 2 years running, huge arm, about a 250 hitter with some power. I do like the Duran speed component added to an Astros lineup that really, other than Jeremy Pena, doesn't have much. Jake Myers a little bit. Duran had more triples in 2025 than did the Houston Astros. Led the American League each of the last couple of seasons. But I'm not sure that the Red Sox would trade either of those guys straight up. And secondhand information, but a Boston media buddy, pretty connected, tells me that internally the Red Sox are very undecided whether to trade Duran at all. Well, if they decide we're not trading Duran, I don't think it's a big step down if you're the Astros and you accept Willie Abreu as the key piece going back. I think straight up it's a reasonable deal for both sides. How does either side work? Are they going to look for a sweetener? But any Astros fan thinking, hey, Paredes is really good, he's the one disciplined hitter in our lineup back in 2026, you're not going to get one of the outfielders and Connelly Early or Peyton Tolley, one of the Red Sox stud young pitchers. It's not going to be that kind of deal for the Astros should it go down.
Yeah, I'd probably be pretty happy with either player. I'm with Charlie. The speed factor is something that really excites me about Duran, and Charlie hit on it, the triples and the doubles too, because you just go back to a couple of years ago and Duran, he led the league in doubles and triples. So, I mean, that's something that the Astros could certainly use. We talked about that many times, especially in that ballpark. The other component of this is too, is if you do trade for one of these outfielders, do you have to turn around and flip one of your outfielders, and who's going to be interested in your guys? And so there's more moves that would have to take place here if this does go down. It's just such a shame to me that Yordan, it feels like you need to play him at DH to keep him healthy, because man, how great would that be if you could get Paredes in the lineup and play Yordan in left field, and then you have Altuve at second base. I know Altuve at second base isn't great, but at this point, I think it's probably your best option with him. He wasn't exactly setting the world on fire in left field last year. He wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, oh, wow, look what we were missing out on this whole time. So, and it's, I like Paredes. He brought a lot to the team. So I'd hate to see him go. On the other hand, Christian Walker could have a bounce back year. It could happen. We don't know. I know that these older guys don't typically produce as they grow in age, but in a new location, maybe he plays a little better this year and doesn't start the season off so slow. But either return, I'm probably good with. But from everything I'm reading, there's going to be another team might have to get involved. Some other players might have to get in the mix in this deal. And as far as the arbitration numbers that Charlie gave out, it's pretty clear the Astros, they're just pinching pennies. They're trying to pay everybody as little as possible so they make sure they're under the luxury tax and it gives them enough ammo or any extra ammo to make some more moves. We know that the backup catcher is something that they still have to address.
The optimistic view on Christian Walker, at least he was better in the second half than the first half. If it just took him a half season to get acclimated, whatever was involved. But you'd rather not spend $20 million to find out if he has a bounce back year in him. And just a follow up point on the Red Sox outfielders, they're both left handed hitters.
Yep.
Abreu's the 2-time gold glove winner, but he can't play center field, I don't think, anyway. He's a thicker guy. Duran, as recently as 2 years ago, got more of his reps in center field. It's just that in 2025, Boston went with Sedan Rafaela out there, who was the gold glove center fielder in the American League. Duran could play center. You don't want Jake Meyer starting 155 games out there. And what if, presuming Jake is on the roster, he happens to hit like pre-2025, pre-calf injury Jake Myers, then the guy who, wow, was terrific, albeit pop gun, 3 home runs and 350 at-bats. Jake Myers also was terrible after coming back late in the season. Duran would give you some center field optionability there beyond Zach Cole, who was all 47 major league at bats.
Yeah, worth mentioning, Willy Abreu, Gold Glove outfielder. So that does get two times. Thank you. That does increase your defense in the outfield. We'll get more into Jake in just a second. We are very excited to introduce another new sponsor on the show, Nat Latman at Cruise Planners. Nat's a Stone Cold Stros listener. And as soon as we announced we were going independent, Nat reached out and said he wanted to partner up. So I said, cool, tell us about what you do. And I was just blown away. I mean, it's in the name, Cruise Planners, but it's so much more because anyone can log on to a website and book a cruise. But if you're like me, you've got a wife that needs to know she's getting the best price and that we're getting the best bang for the buck and that there's not some better package out there. Hey, look, Nat's got you covered. They've been turning dream vacations into a reality since 1994. Exclusive perks, expert guidance, and concierge level service from start to finish. And the best part is you never pay more using Cruise Planners. That's why you use them. Stop killing yourself hunting for the best deals. You have a job. Let Cruise Planners do theirs. They have special software that you and I don't that finds the best deals. This is the time to start planning and booking and get dibs on all the good spots before the best rooms on the best cruises get snatched up. Book early and know that if the price drops after you've booked, your price automatically is adjusted to get the best price. Give Nat or Jenny a call at Cruise Planners, 281-892-1150. That's 281-892-1150. And tell them you heard about it on Stone Cold Stros. It's Cruise Planners.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Okay, so getting back to some of these trade rumors, Chandler Rome has kind of changed his tune a little bit on the Christian Walker market. He says some teams have checked in, but it's more of a question of how much is Houston willing to eat. Hey, tell me how that aversion to long-term deals is working out when you look at how much money Cranes had to eat on Jose Abreu and the fact that they're already shopping Walker for salary relief. Short contracts blow up in your face too. Rome says that Houston's fielding calls about Jesus Sanchez. What I find really interesting about it, though, is that the Astros have made it known to the other teams they are shopping Jake Meyers, but it sure seems like there isn't much of a market for him. Maybe they're just asking a whole lot. But Charlie, you talked about the uncertainty of how Jake is going to follow up that 2025 campaign. Do you guys get the sense other teams are wise to Dana trying to sell high on a player who had an outlier season with the bat?
They should be, because it's not as if Jake Meyers is an ascendant young player. Let's compare him to Jeremy Peña, who his first three seasons in the major leagues was a very mediocre offensive player. OPS is in the low 700s. Well, Jeremy Peña at age 26 had his big breakout season this past year. We can call it last year now. 840 OPS, and that includes his struggles after he came back the last month of the season from the rib injury. So Jeremy Peña exploded into what should be the front edge still of his absolute peak years. Jake Meyers turns 30 during this coming season, and he was an awful offensive player for 2 years before the big improvement for a good chunk of 2025. I mentioned the lack of power. Obviously, he can go get him with the best in center field, but there are really good defensive center fielders all over the place. So he's not going to command any sort of premium. You're not going to get an elite prospect for him. And now that the Astros are really not in the market for a back of the rotation starting pitcher, right, with all the depth options, at least, that they've added, you know, is there a power bullpen arm that they like above beyond some of what they'd added? You know, hey, Roderick Munoz, don't think you're a lock to make the 26-man roster. So I think it's a difficult match to make to trade Jake Meyers, making under $4 million this coming season. That makes you, from an Astro standpoint, say, ooh, our upside in swapping out Jake, along with you believing yourself, if not quite naked, with massive, massive questions in center field. Talked about Zach Cole, 4 long home runs, 20 strikeouts in 47 at-bats for a guy who was a career 249 minor league hitter. You know, there's no reason to be enthused about, hey, let's move Cam Smith over the center field. He needs to prove he can hit major league pitching and settle in right field. If Jesus Sanchez is here, he's not center field material. So at this point, I'd be very surprised if Jake Meyers is not the Astros opening day center fielder.
Yeah, even though the Astros probably don't want that to be the case, or they wouldn't have been shopping him. The problem last year wasn't defense. They couldn't score enough runs, especially towards the end of the year and missing Yordan for all that time. The offense was just not very good. And even when they were decent, middle of the pack in some categories like OPS, their runs scored were terrible. They were bottom third the whole year. And we talked about it, hitting with guys in scoring position. They just weren't very good at it last season. And then Jake Meyers, he doesn't give you much. And even though you get that defense, he doesn't give you a bunch of like his stolen bases, even when he does get on base. 16 was the most he ever had. That was last year. And before that, he had 11 and then 5-2. I know those weren't full seasons, but point being, that's really not something he brings to the table. So you're not getting much speed there either. You're not getting power. And Charlie hit on it until he hit 292 last year. Before that, 219, 227, 227. Yeah, his first year he hit 260, but we know about all the injuries and all the stuff that came later there. So last year was the outlier. I don't see how anybody sees it any differently. I think they're only interested in Jake Meyers if the price is right. And clearly the price has not been right.
He settled his arbitration case with the Astros, $3,550,000. Last season, the Astros paid Chaz McCormick 3.4. So Meyers at 3.55. It's reasonable money for a clear role on the ball club, unless some center fielder falls out of the sky or Zach Cole has us all going, wow, for most of 2026.
Well, outside of the questions in the outfield, another need for Houston is backup catcher. I mentioned Victor Caratini departs for a 2-year, $14 million deal to play for the Twins. So in addition to needing that lefty bat in the outfield questions, they still need a backup catcher. A familiar face has entered the mix. 2-time World Series champion Christian Vasquez. Apparently the Astros have interest in him. Charlie, what's your interest level in a Vasquez?
Martin Maldonado 2.0. Vasquez is 35 years old. He parlayed catching a World Series no-hitter into 3 years, $30 million with the Minnesota Twins. And he was worse than Maldonado was offensively his last 3 years with the Astros over his time with the Twins. 177 this past season. And the Astros need a guy who you're thinking is going to play 50, 60 games. It's just the marketplace is so lousy. Caratini made $6 million with the Astros. He signs with the Twins for seven, 2 years, 14, but too rich for the Astros' blood where they are relative to the CBT. Cesar Salazar, not buying it, that he can hit major league pitching. A couple of years ago, he went 8-25, but zero power. This past season, he hit 215 or so for Sugarland. But beyond Vasquez, Jonah Heim, Elias Diaz, who's 35 years old, is just a real dearth of viable alternatives. And let's mention, while the Astros contemplate the idea of trading Paredes, you know, we've harped, properly so. Yainer Diaz swings at everything. 99% of major league hitters swing at fewer pitches outside the strike zone than Yainer Diaz. Jose Altuve, lousy in the same category. Paredes, phenomenal. 90th percentile for not chasing. The second best Astro in that category, Victor Caratini, 80th percentile. So you lose Caratini, you trade Paredes. Well, that is a big chunk of discipline lost from your lineup. And not that Caratini was an everyday player, but he had more than 350 plate appearances. Where are those going? If they're to Cesar Salazar and Christian Vasquez and other,
I mean, Caratini was so good that he was getting reps at first base, taking at bats away from Christian Walker and other guys and giving guys days off. Caratini had a lot of value to this team, and obviously hitting left-handed was a big part of it, but that was a really nice signing. The Astros are going to miss him. It's a shame Walker Yannick is not ready yet, even though he's a college-age player. He's still not ready to come to the big leagues. So the Astros are kind of in a tough spot here. They're just a lot of what we've talked about this whole offseason, shopping, bottom of the barrel, DVDs near the end caps at Walmart. That's what they're doing with their catcher situation too.
Yeah, Caratini, like Vasquez before him, parlaying his time in Houston into a raise in Minnesota. Charlie, if someone wanted to parlay their podcast viewing experience into a deal on a Kubota tractor, who would you recommend they talk to?
Well, a message for Alvin Equipment. Dependable quality in business since 1952. You mentioned Kubota. Alvin Equipment's the oldest Kubota dealer on the Texas Gulf Coast. In short, if it's a Kubota, Alvin Equipment has it. Tractors, of course, but zero-turn mowers, compact track loaders, excavators, ample inventory, low-rate financing available, full service department, full parts department. They've thrived for about 75 years for a lengthy list of reasons. They're an easy find on Highway 6. Phone number 281-331-3177. 281-331-3177. Their name is their website, alvinequipment.com. Working, you heard about them on Stone Cold Stros.
Now, we've mentioned all the free agents that are now off the market this offseason. You know who hasn't landed anywhere yet? Fromber. It got me thinking as we're seeing all these numbers, these big contracts being dealt out, Ranger Suarez finding a home first. Do you think the lack of movement in the Fromber markets in any way tied to maybe the murmurs about him being a head case and that infamous cross-up we witnessed last season?
I think it hasn't helped, but I wouldn't think it's a fundamental, hey, we have no interest in your guy. I don't know how crazy his representation is being that, hey, we want the 7-8 years that Dylan Cease and Max Fried got. Fromber's 32 years old, opening day this coming season. Now, he's better than Dylan Cease. He was in 2025. He certainly has been over the last 5 years. So if he's 2 years older than Cease, a contract 2 years shorter than Cease's, and at least the same money would seem warrantable. So Cease got 7-210, Fromber 5-150 as a floor, maybe not terribly far from the ceiling. Mike Elias was involved in the Astros front office when Fromber was on board. The Orioles still need a number one starter. Will they pay? If it's 5 years, $150 million, that would strike me as very reasonable territory. It's that game of chicken. There's always going to be a last significant free agent out there. On the pitching side, it turns out to be Fromber this year.
It does. There must be something to it, because remember he put out that 20-minute video kind of showing insight into who he really is. I think it was like Thad Levine or something like that that worked with his agent. They're trying to do some image cleanup. And the fact that he still hasn't signed, I think that's a part of it. I'm with Charlie. I don't think that's everything. But I don't think they – usually when they put out these videos, it's kind of like, oh, look at these dominating strikeouts. And with Fromber, it's like, hey, look at this great charity work behind the scenes. And I think they're trying to highlight him as a person because they know there is some stuff that needs to be repaired. That was not a good look. And there were some, of course, no names attached, but people in front offices that said they had a problem with it, and they heard that Fromber wasn't that great a clubhouse guy. And – I have no issue with Fromber, but I always am curious about a guy that wears a t-shirt with his own name on it. You know, you're just kind of like, okay, all right. You know, it's like the band that goes out wearing their own t-shirt, and you're kind of like, okay, that's fine. But Fromber loves him some Fromber. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think it'd be silly to think this doesn't have a little something to do with it. When you're spending that much money on a pitcher, you're worried about all kinds of things. Usually you're not worried about, is this guy going to come in the clubhouse and people aren't going to get along with the dude?
And as perhaps one specific example, the New York Mets need a number one. I'm pretty sure Steve Cohen is still flush enough after giving Bo Bichette 3 years, $126 million, that if he wants Fromber, he can pay the going rate. But the Mets' storyline of their offseason is, oh, toxic clubhouse. They need to turn things over. And if they're thinking, yeah, we want to bring in a big money, longer term, a guy we might think is a bit dicey as a personality, as well as coming into the New York media market, are the Mets a little Fromber shy because of that? But he's going to get paid. He's been too good for half a decade. And what else is out there? And there are still multiple teams in play for a number one starter. As long as he doesn't go to the Dodgers.
I wouldn't rule it out at this point. And I know social media is not emblematic of the real world, but I don't see a lot of fervor about him online. And in fact, when I see his name brought up, other fan bases and media, the dialogue's not positive about Fromber. I mean, I do think there's a little bit of it baked in. I think you guys are right. I think ultimately he will land somewhere. He'll get paid, but I don't think it's going to be nearly the bag that it would have been had that cross-up situation not happened. I don't think it'll prevent him from getting signed, but I think the number's not going to be as high because of it. There really is something to it. Now, we have some good news. If you want some more Stone Cold Strohs in your life, we've got some more because we've got a bonus episode coming up this week. We had so much to talk about that we're recording a second episode. Obviously, thanks to Cruise Planners and Alvin Equipment for making that possible. We've got more Texans on Tap coming up over on that channel. So we hope to see you there. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brennan saying so long. We'll see you later this week. Go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.